either in your Bible or on your phone. We're reading today from Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 6. And it reads this way. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be good servants of Jesus Christ, nourished on the word of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourselves for godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. The word of God for the people of God. We have a video that will start us off.
Are you still here? When you called my name, I heard it around me. When I knew you were coming, I said hi for you. When you influenced others to talk to me, I quickly made excuses to get away from you. Afraid of the pain because I didn't want to get hurt.
I'm just going to stop you, Wes. Can you stop this? This is not our video for this week, which is okay, because we had an awesome Rocky video that showed us what it was like to work through some training. Who wasn't inspired by watching Rocky run? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I am not seeing much inspiration going on out there. Oh, there's a little inspiration. Yeah, a little inspiration. It is the training and the practice that we are here to talk about today. Last week, at the beginning of Winning of the Game Plan, we talked about defining the win. Today, we're talking about practice. And it's the place that we start here at home, the striving to be our personal best, the striving to improve on what we've done and become the best we can possibly be. We talked a little bit last week about perfect practice making perfect, and we talked a little bit about practice making permanent. What I want us to remember about practice this week is that practice is participatory. Now, how many of us, I could watch that Rocky video over and over and over again. I would not be any more fit having watched it 30 times versus having watched it once. The only way that I really am going to get fit like that is to participate in the training. And the same is true for us as Christians, that believing and simply acknowledging what we know in our heads is not going to get us any closer to being the godly people that God wants us to be if we don't actually practice what we're hearing and what we're learning. All of life is a participatory event, and training in our discipleship is no different. How are we going to know if we're really practicing well? Well, in the video, what we saw was men training for athletic sports, for professional sports, especially for basketball. And they talked about working harder and working smarter and working consistently and working their way through all of the basic drills, just like we saw Rocky doing, just like we know that we do in school. Sometimes it's math drills, or sometimes it's scales if we're learning a musical instrument. There are basic foundational things that we have to practice over and over and over again so that they become automatic and that we become good at them. But if we practice badly, then what we get good at is bad basic skills. And so the idea is for us to find a way to identify and to know what practicing good looks like. For us as Christians, I think there is a verse that we make our confirmands memorize that helps us to understand if what we're practicing is really getting us to where we want to be. It comes out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 3. If you know it, you can say it with me. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. When we begin to see those growing in our lives, we begin to understand that we are practicing in a way that honors God. It isn't that we are creating one fruit with all of these different segments, but really that we're creating a fruit bowl that has all of these different fruit gathered together. And the idea is to make sure that it's a complete fruit salad and not just an individual fruit. But to get back to our sports metaphor, do we see evidence? And so what does it look like, as Paul said to Timothy, to train ourselves in godliness? Well, I think we can take a cue from the work smart, work hard, work consistent for our own lives in discipleship. There are two things, I think, that make up working smart. One is to know the playbook. How can you work and train smart to accomplish the tasks at hand if you don't know what you're working on? For us, the playbook looks a lot like this. I'll ask this question. How many of us in here know all of the words in this book by heart, and we can call it up in a moment's notice? You will notice my hand is not raised either. Memorizing the whole Bible is a lifetime's work. And so it means that in order for us to work smart and to know what's in here, we have to pay attention to what's in here. We have to open it. We have to read it. We have to study it. We have to learn it. And it may be that we know some of the things that are in here and we can apply them without knowing exactly where they came from. But it's also true that if you go back and look at what it really says, there might be some new direction in the playbook that you didn't see the first time you looked at it. So it's not a playbook that you just memorize and never return to. So I encourage you to find time to know the playbook in prayer, in Bible study, in holy conversation with others who are trying to learn the playbook, to be able to say, oh, is that how you understood that? How does that look in your lives? So that we can encourage each other to grow stronger in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple. The second part of working smart, I think, is to coach and be coached. And it comes right out of those holy conversations. If you are playing a sport and there is a coach and you ask them to look at what you're doing to see if it's working well, then what you really want is some honest feedback. And that's what coaching looks like in our Christian lives as well. It looks like the truth spoken with love. Sometimes we call that a critique as opposed to a criticism. What we're looking for is some help in making what we're doing better. My son-in-law is a tennis coach, and one of the things that he does to help his students in his coaching is he films them. And then together, they watch how they have played tennis. And I know that one of the things that's really important for him is foot placement. I only know this from talking to him and not from actual experience. But apparently when you play tennis, not only where you put your feet, but how you put your feet makes a difference in how fast you can maneuver and respond on the court. And so if you are consistently practicing with the wrong footwork, you're never going to get better than you are at that moment. Having the coach help you see and then make that correction may be the only way that you can take your next step toward becoming the best player you can. I know Neil coaches our basketball for the kids on Wednesday night, and he has them run drills. I have every expectation that if there are small corrections that need to be made to make them better players, that he's encouraging them to make those corrections and not continue to play in a way that isn't going to make them the very best basketball players that they are. And so it is for us all to be coaches and to coach one another, to be able to help us say to one another, I think maybe you took a misstep here, or maybe you would try stepping this way instead of that way and see if you don't get a different result, so that we can take our next best step with Jesus. And then working hard, I think, in the Christian life looks like moving past our mistakes. Pretty much none of the sports that I have investigated have perfection as the regular happening in the sport. There are mistakes in every game, mistakes made regularly by players. And the challenge is not to linger on them and hopefully to learn from them and not repeat them. In our life of discipleship, we have the same thing. And we use the term forgiveness as a way of recognizing that mistakes have been made and that we need to move on with life, not continually recognizing or living with the mistake, but acknowledging it and moving forward. Now, it doesn't mean if we offer forgiveness that we are forgetting what happened, or that we allow the same behaviors to continue, or that we are accepting of everything. Just as in a sports game, you wouldn't allow mistaken behavior, to continually happen. If you do that in professional sports, you're either out or traded to another team. Fortunately for us as Christians, we follow a God of grace who is always interested in the relationship with us and willing to forgive our mistakes as long as we are willing to take the steps to make correction. And because we have received that grace, it's part of playing hard, because forgiving is hard. But we need to practice forgiving others and moving forward together, valuing the relationship in whatever way and whatever form that takes, and moving forward. And finally, playing consistent. Playing consistent. It means that you need to practice on a really regular basis. If we could exercise once a year, I would be phenomenal. I have to tell you, I can get once a year in. I'll have a moment of inspiration, and that happens. It's the consistency that is a problem. And that is true in sports. It is true in music. It is true in learning any new skill in our lives. Consistency is important. And the athletes who only train hard during the season don't return the next year at the same level as they left. Even in the off season, they're training. The intensity may vary, the focus may vary, but training happens day after day after day on a regular and consistent basis. And so it is with us as disciples of Jesus. We need consistency and daily practice. And here's the thing that we need to know about our discipleship. There is no off season. It is a daily life choice that we have to make, to choose God or not to choose God. Now, there may be times when we have a really intense experience of God, and we think that that's what our life in Christ needs to look like all the time. But I think that's an unrealistic expectation that we have, that maybe we've heard, or maybe that we just have somehow come to believe is true. Because all relationships ebb and flow. And if we have sometimes what's referred to as a mountaintop experience with God, well, do you know how big a mountaintop is? It's little. If you're climbing up the peak of the mountain, there's a lot more below the mountaintop than there is up on top of the mountain. And the idea is that you're going to get there. But I don't think very many people climb the mountaintop and expect to live there for the rest of time. We know you have to come back down the mountain and be engaged in the rest of the world. The challenge is to take that experience and bring it with you as you come back down. And that's where our daily training comes in, that we're able to reach the peak. We're able to come back down, and maybe next time we're out climbing, we can go a little bit higher on a different mountain, a different experience. But we do know that we have to work at it day in and day out. And what will this practice get us? Well, the practice will get us along our path of discipleship, helping us take our next step, helping us be on the move with God, up and in and out. What I really love about those two statements that help us know who we are is that there isn't really a beginning and there isn't really an end. It really does reflect our relationship with God. Because wherever we are in our training program, there's always a next step, something that we haven't explored, an activity or a muscle that we haven't stretched, maybe even one we are completely unaware of until somebody else invites us to train with them. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week, training with the team. And I hope you will be here for that. But part of getting ready to train with the team is for each of us to commit to bringing our very best self, whether it is training for athletics or being students in school or being disciples of Jesus Christ. Our practice, our training ought to lead us into being the very best that we can be and presenting the persons that God wants us to be in the world. And so your challenge this week is to take a look at where you are, and you should have done that. If you were here last week, you should have taken a look at that, and to begin to put some training in place. To figure out if what you need to do is work hard or work smart or work consistent, because you've got two of the three. And yes, you do have to have all three. It's not, this is not an either or kind of a choice. But whether which one are you going to focus on this week? Just to make one a little bit better. Or maybe you're going to need to work on all three of them together. And you can practice, practice, practice. Let us pray. Almighty God, so often we pray to do the right thing, and we want to see the right thing come as a result of those prayers. Help us to live into practicing and doing the right thing, but to leave the right results to you. Help us to hear truth spoken in our lives in love and kindness, and help each of us in turn to speak in love and kindness to others. Let us be encouraged by you and encouraging to others. And maybe this week, maybe we'll find a new soreness in our discipleship muscles, but recognize it and know that it is good, that it means we've used those muscles and that we're strengthening them, and that somehow we will be better in your sight than we are today. As we prepare to make our gifts and offerings to you, help us exercise the muscle of generosity, that it might become a core value, a core way of being, and that we honor you in all of our generous giving. Amen.